Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever it is. I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. I'm here today with Ashley Thunder. Hello.
Hi.
She is a cast member of St. Petersburg Opera Company's Pinocchio. She is also an opera singer, a spinto soprano. Is that what you're called?
Si, that's yes.
What does that mean, spinto?
That means my register is north of the octaves. For all of our lay listeners, this is a 101, so I am a higher range soprano, but not the highest.
Is that the coloratura?
That would be it. And we do have a beautiful coloratura this year. Her name is Kate Wood.
Kate Wood.
Might have to verify
that. Yeah, it's
that
usually Holly Flaxoff in Hong Kong or
gosh.
Something, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. It was an honor to have her. We do miss her, but there is a worthy replacement here as Holly goes off to also audition for the Metropolitan Opera.
Oh, good for Holly. Mm-hmm. But Kate is making a really good Olympia.
She's doing great.
So let's explain what Pinocchio is for those of you who don't know. St. Petersburg Opera Company does this every year. It is essentially an opera for children, for families. It is a retelling of the good old Pinocchio story with a twist. It's actually really, really funny. But it's music by Mozart and Don Zanatti, and Offenbach, of course, and Verdi. The melodies will be familiar to people who know opera, but the words are different. They're comic patter songs, some of them, and some of them are romantic You know what I mean? They're nice, pretty songs, and they tell the story of Pinocchio in about an hour.
That's right.
And everybody's wearing outrageous costumes. It's really a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about that, too. Let's talk about you, though. You are from Ohio.
I am, round on both ends, from Ohio. And then I came down in 2007. Mm-hmm. And I have been a Floridian ever since I stepped onto Clearwater Beach and saw dolphins.
What brought you down here?
You know, I graduated from school and it was starting to get cold. Fall was amongst me. And I said, I just can't do this.
I'm using that. Fall was amongst me.
I don't even know if that's an official word.
Well, it is now.
Don't quote me.
It is now. Well, you got a BA at Ohio Dominican University. Was that before you came down here? Like, getting my degree and then, hell, I'm going to Florida.
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Yeah. You know, you get sold this dream that you'll get out of college and you'll do whatever you want. And people will be knocking at your door and you just can't keep them away from you. They'll want to hire you and pick you up and all of this. And I was really struggling. It was the midst of the economic challenges here in the U.S. in 2007 and 2008.
The whole recession.
Absolutely. Huge recession. And I have a business degree. So yeah. No one was hiring.
You're Thunder isn't your real name, but Thunder is a nickname that you acquired. And it's, my phone is ringing. Let me turn that off. That happened.
That's your mother. That's why you better pick that up. That's
when you
mom.
Do these things live, I'll call her back later. But you have a background in sports and athletics. Is that where you acquired the name Thunder? Was that in college? Let me see if I got this right. You played tennis in college.
Did you call my mother to get all this information? Right. We've been conferring.
We'll talk about my background in sports, which you could fit in a thimble. But so that's what it was. You were your sports person.
Yes. In college, I was a walk-on for a collegiate tennis team. They didn't have any sports that I wanted to compete in. I loved track and field. I loved swimming. Mm-hmm. But I was really late on filling out applications for college that last year of high school because I was actually headed to the military. We'll save that story to another day.
Oh, boy. Podcast part two.
Yeah. Yes. So I applied to all these colleges, and the furthest college from my home, 2.5 hours, Columbus, was Ohio Dominican.
Oh, yeah.
They accepted me, so I jumped on that.
So you described yourself as a jock in some interview I read. So, I mean, was that ever a career choice? I'm going into that. I mean, you got a business degree, and you're into music, which is where we're headed here down this yellow brick road. But was sports ever a thing? Like, boy, I'd really like to do that professionally.
Oh, was it? Yes, it was. Wow. When I graduated with my business degree and I had a hard time finding an official career
right.
and a path, you know, again, no one was hiring at the time, Women's football became an option.
Yeah.
And I played lingerie football at Amalie Arena.
You did when you came down here. I knew this about you. Let's talk about that. The lingerie league, which I thought, oh, come on, somebody made that up. But I understand that there was a women's football league. Does it still exist now today?
Unfortunately, it doesn't exist.
So after you're down here, you're kind of, well, what am I going to do? You get a job or whatever. And I'll go try out for this. It's essentially Major League Football League.
Absolutely.
And you did
full tackle.
What was that like?
It was amazing. You know, there aren't, well, at the time, which doesn't seem that long ago, there weren't many options for women in professional sports. However, this guy out of California, Mitch Mortaza, said, hey, I really see a lot of athletic talent and I want to utilize this and get these women into a major sport. So it wasn't, obviously we didn't have football backgrounds because women weren't even allowed to play on the football team. You know, only recently have girls become kickers and quarterbacks during high school football. The NFL also has a big push for flag football right now, which is awesome. Love it. But at the time it was we had a lot of girls who did soccer and they were trying to be professional soccer players, but the traveling was too much. Mm. We had some girls that were tennis athletes like myself. There were other girls that were part of another football league that was full tackle football, but fully padded. And some of these girls were, you know, over 200 pounds. They were huge.
Now, what you're doing in this league, this is full tackle football.
Oh, yeah. Full tackle arena football.
I've seen pictures. I mean, you're like scantily dressed and that kind of stuff. I mean, isn't this just like some guy's stupid dream of what a woman's football team? I'm playing devil's advocate.
Oh, I completely understand. Absolutely. You know? That's exactly what it was. And that's how we got people in the stadium was the scantily clad, the word lingerie.
Yeah, you know, I probably would have bought a ticket had I been living around here. I mean, what can I say?
It definitely sparked some conversation.
But you guys were out there kicking ass.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there was a women's football league in full pads and full gear, but nobody came to those football games. And there was so much talent. And this guy said, well, how do we get them there? So we got them there.
Is that where Thunder came from? Or did that follow you down from Ohio?
That followed me from Ohio. My tennis coach Mike Bunnell gave me that name. Really, really wonderful mentor, super nice guy, taught me everything I know about tennis, and it was my overhead serve. So that's what got it.
She's coming on like thunder.
That's it.
You were what, 2 years in the football franchise and just kind of.
Yeah, you know what? I needed to get serious because even though we were selling tickets, we were making a small income. Wasn't enough to eat off of. So I hate to say this, Bill, but I'm a capitalist. I like money.
Well, you know.
I like nice things.
Get in line. Get in line. So yeah, you bailed on that. And you're also a singer, even leaving
off. I like to say retired.
Okay, that works.
I retired.
That works. That's good. That's more correct. But you're leaving opera out of it for a minute. You're also a singer, and there was a period when you were singing rock and roll and R&B and clubs and stuff. Have you always been a singer, a vocalist?
I've always been a vocalist, but not technically trained. So there was always something in me that said, wow, this is really fun. It makes me so happy. But I didn't believe that you could make money doing it. And I didn't understand.
I know a lot of singers who'll say they still don't make money doing it.
You're right. And I didn't see the opportunity for me because, you know, I wasn't Destiny's Child at the time or Beyonce or, you know, Janet Jackson. I didn't grow up in it.
I saw Destiny's Child in Amalie Arena.
Oh.
With my daughter, the mother of my beautiful granddaughter, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
You know, I saw them as well. They opened for Brandy. Remember when Brandy was big?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw them. Pink opened for them.
Pink opened for them. Yep. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so you weren't Destiny's Child.
I was not.
So you got some singing gigs.
Yeah.
How does all of this lead to opera? This is what I don't get.
You know, I'm a true believer that there's a divine plan for everyone. You just have to be open to that.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I did leave the football league, and then I got another corporate job, and I just wasn't happy. And I was talking to a friend. I said, man, I really wish I could get into music. I just don't know how. And he said, well, my dad's an opera coach. You should go talk to him.
Really?
Yeah, that quick.
And did you thought of opera at all?
I didn't.
There's a lot of us who don't really know anything about opera, at least mm-hmm. in the beginning. I learned over time and learned to appreciate the incredible training that goes into it and the talent, but you didn't know anything about it.
Nothing. The only exposure that I had to classical music, I'd seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra and PBS. Thank God for PBS and public broadcasting.
There you go.
Because they would show Andrea Bocelli and the three tenors.
Yeah.
So it was really the male opera singers that mm-hmm. got me interested in the genre, but I still didn't know enough about it. And there were I was lucky enough to have people in the St. Petersburg area that were open-minded to expanding the culture of classical music to people who didn't know any better, which is why Mark Sforzini is so great.
Yeah.
Because he does the lunch and learns. He'll educate people.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't anticipate for you to be, you know, 120 hours into opera to have a conversation.
But actually, he can hear talent. He can hear it in your voice. He can appreciate it. And what he can do to help you nurture it. I think this is one of the great things about St. Pete Opera, too.
Absolutely.
You know, is that there are a lot of people who do it all the time, and there are people who don't do it all the time, but mm-hmm. they mix so well because he's good at producing things. Did you find it daunting in the beginning? Oh, I got to learn to sing in Italian? You know.
So I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
The first day I met Mario Laurenti, who's the man that I met over in Pinellas Park.
Yeah.
Any classical music ear from the area, they know who he is because he used to put on shows on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. He passed away at 99. Okay. Mm. He has a great legacy. But the first time he brought me into the studio, he had another singer perform in front of me. He said, you just sit down and you listen.
Okay.
So I sat down, I listened, I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
This girl starts singing, and I mean, I really didn't blink an eye. I was like, I do this in the shower every day. What are we talking about here? And he said, okay, your turn. Get up here. Sing your song. So I said, okay, and just got up.
You imitate him beautifully.
Thank you. I get up there, I sing my song, and you see his eyes get real big like this.
Wow.
All he saw was he could see miles ahead of what I could see. You know, for me, it was, all right, I'm looking at the paper in front of my face. For him, it's like he could see the decades ahead. He could see the potential.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, you're going to come 4 days a week, and you're going to be here for an hour every day, and you're going to be an opera singer. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, buddy, but maybe I'll come again. I don't know.
But and you did. And,
look at
and,
that.
And you tell me some of the companies you performed with.
I performed, of course, with St. Pete Opera. Absolutely love that. Close to home because I live in Ybor City.
There you go.
I've performed with Anna Maria Island Chorus and Orchestra, the Central Florida Lyric, the Dusseldorf Lyric. I went overseas.
Wow.
One of Mario's students has a fantastic company over there, so I was able to sing there. And also Newport Richie. Central Florida Lyric is where I've done most of my work and most of my operas with Bill Duarte.
So. A lot of the singers who work with St. Pete Opera, you know, do a lot of traveling mm-hmm. nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. So it's like I used to hear this, all of us here, and I sang with her over here.
Right.
Or the three of us did this thing. And Pinocchio is, as we were saying at the top, really unique in that it's, you know, I think when I was writing marketing for Maestro Sforzini, I probably said it's like opera for people who think they're afraid of opera.
Exactly.
Because
you
know? It's not really all that scary.
Right.
You know, but you do, there are shows on November 10th, 11th, 18th, and 19th. I should point this out. And we'll talk about the venue, too, in a minute. But you also do shows for school children who come to Opera Central just to watch this. Now, when I've seen you in it several times as the Blue Lady, the Blue Fairy, and you have your moment, and now this year you're playing Cat, who is, I want to say one of the bad guys, but kind of the dopey.
That's
one
accurate.
Of the two.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. How big of a step up is this for you?
You know, I think all the parts are equal, okay? I really do, but besides Pinocchio, okay? Pinocchio is on stage the entire time.
Yeah.
We all have the honor of reaching people in different ways, and that Blue Lady really has that awe moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cape comes off, and you go, oh, This isn't some homeless lady off the street. Something's about to happen here. It's fabulous. I love when the jaws drop and you hear the kids go, oh, wow. So fun.
Okay, but Cats, it's a bigger part. Now, and you do it, you dance and you sing all these comic songs.
It is a big part. And I think the kids relate more to the wolf and the cat. Because they're just fun characters.
Yeah, and you get to wear a lot of cool makeup.
I do have some cool makeup and lots of fur.
So again, if you're listening, you have no idea what we're talking about. Cat and Wolf are the sort of, the bad guys. I mean, they plot against Pinocchio. You know, they want to make a not so nice boy out of Pinocchio. And, you know, the little machinations behind the scenes. And they're actually really, really funny. You know, they're like the comic relief, I guess.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you've got Olympia and Dr. What's his name?
Duke Amara.
That's Rim, isn't it?
Oh, it was Rim. However, Rim has retired from that.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, Rim. Who's doing it this year?
His name is Lloyd. I believe his last name is Rashad. Lloyd Rashad.
Well, all right.
He's a fabulous.
That's Duke great. Amara, I mean, the cast has to change, you know, and
it does.
You know, the show is the show. Mm-hmm. Now I met Rim's brother Al about a week ago and said, hey, you know, you know, the last name, which I can't even pronounce, Kranivakis or something. Hey, Rim. Hey, Al. You know. So you were talking about how it's great to hear the kids react.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You know,
it's wonderful. It gives me life. That's why I always say yes to this part and this opportunity to give them the exposure to a genre that they don't typically hear of.
Yeah.
And when I talk to the kids, I always say, you know, this is going to be different from what you hear on the radio. And they go, oh, okay. And then it's just silence. You know, they really have to use their brains to work out the sounds and how they feel and how it impacts them all differently. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes I've had children cry at these outreaches.
Wow.
And there's nothing more touching than a child letting you know that you have really exposed them to something beautiful.
You've gotten through to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great experience.
And we should remind people that it's completely in English. We've been talking about Italian here and that there's no need for those super titles, which is a copyrighted word. The title's over the stage, you know, don't say that, but it's in English. The costumes are fabulous. You want to go to stpeteopera.org, stpeteopera.org to look at times. 10th, 11th, 18th, and 19th are the public shows of Pinocchio. This year is definitely worth it. We have been talking to the fabulous Ashley Thunder. Thank you so much for coming in here.
My pleasure, Bill.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. I don't even want to get into current events. How about the weather? The weather's been fabulous.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. In fact, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go take a long walk down the sidewalks here downtown.
Good to know.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Bill.
And you know, broken legs all around her. What do they say in opera? Toy, toy, toy?
Toy, toy, toy.
All right, that works for me. Take care now.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.